Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Ion Travel with Peter Greenberg, that's me, ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Hi, everybody. Peter Greenberg here with another edition of the Ion Travel Podcast. COVID cases are spiking in the U.S., but a number of Caribbean countries are now opening to American travelers. I'll check in with hotelier Nikhil Avani for a report on the ground in the Turks and Caicos. Then, with more Americans in their cars and taking road trips, I'll talk with the editor-in-chief of Popular Mechanics, Alex George, for his assessment of the best new cars for 2021. And then, on a somewhat lighter note, I'll chat with the lifestyle editor of Esquire magazine for his take on the best bars in America. Of course, with so many closing, information to file for future reference. First, Nikhil Avani.
You know, if you do a little census here, especially in the Caribbean, you're going to find so many different island nations beginning to open up for American travelers. Europe is definitely shut down. We know that. Lockdowns in France and Spain and Italy, in Germany and Austria, most recently in the United Kingdom. I'm just getting started. There's already an EU ban on us anyway, but there's now just a ban on everybody within those countries. They're locked down. And most of Asia, still locked down to us. South Pacific, still locked down to us, with the exception maybe of Hawaii, if you want to call that South Pacific. But let's move to the Caribbean, and that's where we're seeing a lot of movement. St. Kitts, opening up. Jamaica, opening up. St. Lucia, opening up. Costa Rica, if you want to call that, that's not the Caribbean, but you know it's close enough, opening up. And Panama, opening up. We're seeing a number of different countries embracing different insurance plans and different ways to create a confidence-boosting opportunities for people to want to go there and stay there, like Barbados, you know, giving you a visa change where you're allowed to work there now for a year. This is happening all around the Caribbean. And one of those locations now is the Turks and Caicos. And anytime I want to know what's going on in the Caribbean, I get the next guy on the phone, good friend of mine. He's also the co-founder and the COO of Grace Bay Resorts. Nikhil Avani, how are you, sir?
Peter, it's always great speaking to you. How are you doing?
Most importantly, how are you guys doing? Because, you know, you're an island that depends, or I should say you are islands that depend almost entirely on travel and tourism.
Very, very much so. So, you know, it's been a tough ride. The whole world was closing down in March, and so did we. We did a full lockdown. I think for us, it was trying to assess what was going on, trying to learn. Under the leadership of the government and the premier, we had Public Health England fly their top guys down here to support us on the island. And what we learned is we had to increase our medical capacity. So that's the first thing we did. So we were in lockdown all the way from mid-March through July 22nd. So during that time, we increased our medical capacity. We learned a lot. We had Public Health England and our guys in the Turks and Caicos, you know, putting a strategy together on how do we mitigate this? How do we learn more? And so we were very conservative, I think, during that time. And there was a lot of learning. And also, with the private sector leading this effort, we put together an app called TCISafe.com. And this app gave you all the tools that you needed to be able to come and travel safely. in partnership with the government's app called TCI Assured. So we work closely with the government and put this together. So July 22nd, we opened our doors. And, you know, again, a lot of policies were changing. We had heightened cleanliness and hygiene standards in all hotels using best practices around the world with the global hoteliers that we have on island. So this was a real interesting period. I can look back now with experience and speak to that. We've had roughly from July 22nd till today, roughly about 15,000 odd guests within the Turks and Caicos Islands that came to visit us. We call them the adventurers. They wanted to come. They wanted to travel. They got on the first flight when our doors opened, and they came to visit us. And I'm proud to say that these mitigating factors are working. And so far, out of 15,000 people, no guests have got any spread of COVID-19, and neither have they spread it to our community or the staff of the hotel. Now, these are mitigating factors. They're not 100%. But, you know, data is really valuable to see a live experience or live experiment that we've been doing with data and knowledge and the help of medical professionals who are leading this sort of opening of islands or opening of cities. So I think these factors that we have, which is the 5-day testing, getting the right insurance, using the right cleanliness procedures and hygiene, have been very, very useful. So that's our experience right now.
Well, Nikhil, let's go down that one by one. You talk about a 5-day testing. Somebody wants to go to the Turks and Caicos right now. What do they have to do?
So if you want to go to the Turks and Caicos, there are four things you need to do. One is you need to get your negative PCR test within a 5-day period of travel. You need to get Medivac insurance while you're there. Both these things are available to be booked on tcisafe.com. So that's the second thing. Third thing, you have to fill in a questionnaire. And the fourth thing is upload all that information onto TCI Assured. So with all those four things done, within a 24-hour to 48-hour period, you will get a response that you're clear to travel. Most guests and the travel professionals have come back to us and says, these are some of the best practices that you have that are leading the Caribbean, and they're so simple. Now, I've tried it myself, and I can say that, but then I'm always going to say that about our islands. But this is coming from people like Jack Eason, people like Bobby Zur, who are industry experts. And they've said, you know, we've tried your system. Our guests have tried it. These are working really well. You know, keep it. And, you know, as things are getting better for a stage, they were getting better in terms of COVID-19 in the U.S. and that. People were saying, why don't you reduce your standards? And we held tight to that because it was working. Of course, now the spread is getting worse in the U.S. right now. But again, I think, as you've said in many of your chats, we're going to have to live with this through the whole year. So we've got to have a system that we believe in, that it works, that has a proven track record, and that is supported by data. And that's what we have in the Turks and Caicos Islands.
All right, now I want to dissect that just a little more. You talk about medical evacuation insurance that you can book on your app. What does that cost?
So it's $9.90 a day per person. It's actually a bespoke program that we've worked with some of the biggest insurance companies in the world. And the goal there when we were working with these insurance companies was we need to have somebody that was, if tested positive in the Turks and Caicos or they had symptoms and they were tested positive, we needed to get them off the island back into their jurisdiction in the U.S. And to a hospital. So if you're not from the U.S., they take you back to Miami. If you are from the U.S., we fly you directly back, including your family. And that would not put an extra load on the medical facilities on island. That was the whole concept. Thank God we've not had to use that facility. And so those are the kind of things that we were talking about and how the idea came out for this bespoke insurance policy.
You know, one of the things people think about, they may not talk about it, but they're sure thinking about it, is the idea that they don't want to go anywhere, get stuck and not be able to come home. Or they don't want to go somewhere and then find out that they're not covered. You know, one of the biggest areas of complaint on this show has been in terms of either getting a refund when a trip gets canceled or buying travel insurance that turned out to be worthless. So how have you affected your refund policies so that all of a sudden if something happens and there's a spike in cases and somebody can't go or the hotel itself says we're not going to be open, that these people can get their money back?
Peter, that's a very valid point. We've had those same concerns. So what we've done in our team and on the islands in general is we've said, you've got from now till, except for festive, a 24-hour cancellation policy. So even a day before your travel, if for whatever reason you can't travel, you call us back and we will guarantee that you can get a full refund. Festive, we've made changes as well. So we're very flexible with our best partners and working with them one-on-one. And we've decided to go one step further. Next year, in quarter one, which is our high season usually, we've done a 72-hour cancellation policy so that 72 hours before coming, you can cancel and get a full refund. And, you know, the feedback from our guests and our travel professionals has been the same that what you're hearing. Look, we don't mind booking. We'll pay the deposit. We'll book whatever the travel is. We love it. We love Turks and Caicos. But we want to know, just if, with these uncertain times, that if we can't travel, that we can get a refund. And we're listening. So that's why we did this policy. Many of the hotels have decided to use the same policy as well.
And here's my question, based on not only the lessons that you've learned, but the lessons that you've applied, is this going to be a policy that will extend even after there's a vaccine?
You know, I think as we go, we're going to learn. This is a dynamic situation. I couldn't tell you what that will be later. It's all supply and demand. And it's also listening to your clients. I think Turks and Caicos, one of the things we do differently on these islands is we've got such a great relationship with our guests and travel professionals that we create a program that works for them. So I think as we go along, if that's what people want and that's what, you know, the supply and demand allows, then that will stay. Slowly, knowing how things go, demand will come back. Supply will be reduced and conditions will change. But again, it's always in favor of the guest. I think we've been able to do that, being a small island, being a bespoke island, handling a lot of high net worth guests. So I think it's easy for us to do that on a relationship basis, because that's really what we've done on the island that's made a big difference.
My thanks to Nikhil. The new model cars are out, and the performance reports are in. So which are the best new cars in America? Alex George, the editor-in-chief of Popular Mechanics, is behind the wheel. I love having him on the show, because every time I talk to him, I learn something. He's the editor-in-chief of Popular Mechanics, Alex George. Hey, Alex.
Hey, how are you?
Good. So it's that time of year. We got to talk about all the new cars, and especially when people are taking more and more road trips. In the wake of the pandemic, you know, it's not just RVs, it's people just jumping in their cars and taking, you know, one tank, 300-mile trips from home and essentially rediscovering their own regions, rediscovering their own neighborhoods. So what a perfect time to talk about the new model cars. I have a couple of favorites, but I'm going to shut up and let you tell me yours.
So it was a strange year. So obviously we had, you know, everything was upended in March and the summer. It felt it was kind of this weird phase where, you know, people were buying things, and then you saw this uptick later on where people were buying cars and the used market specifically just went through the roof. And now people companies have gone back to their manufacturing and their R&D, and they ended up coming out with some really stunning models for this year and saw a lot of cars that were kind of unexpected, things that were, you know, a little bit more daring than actually we thought that we'd see this year.
Before you even get to the models, what was surprising to me was back in March, April, and May, all the car manufacturers were offering unbelievable finance deals. They were basically saying 0% APR for 84 months. And I was saying, I didn't know cars lasted for 7 years.
It went to this insane swing from then till then. And because I think people were very, there was so much uncertainty that people didn't know how that was going to behave. And they didn't know how the car market was going to behave differently from other markets. So I see why they came from with that. And then it just swung in the complete opposite direction. Now it's kind of difficult to find certain cars on the market anymore.
I know. So okay, let's start with your favorites and then which ones are actually selling. Because sometimes that's a separate answer.
Oh, for sure. I'll start with one that is, two that are selling very well. And so this year on our list, we had two Kias. So one was the sedan of the year, which is the Kia K5. The other one was what we call the family car of the year, which is the Kia Telluride. And Kia's on, and their sister companies, Hyundai and Genesis, are on this rise over the last, I don't know, it's taken like, if you were around in the early aughts, you remember the Kias were kind of a punchline. Like they were the last, you know, they were the cheapest car you could get on the economy lot when you were renting in a new place. But they're excellent now. And they still have this 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty on them.
And well, you know what? In the interest of full disclosure, I have to tell you, I bought a new car once in my life. It was a 1971 VW bus, Sierra Yellow, they called it, but it was actually orange. And I drove it for 5 years. And it was the only car I ever bought new in my life. And wildly enough, it was the only car that when I sold it, I got more money than what I paid for it. because it had just increased in value, which cars never do. The only other car I've ever bought new in my life was a year ago. I actually bought a Kia Telluride.
How do you like it so far?
I love it. It's unbelievable. It's well designed. It thinks. But the thing that attracted me to it was that 10-year warranty.
They've had it for a while, and it's this kind of a guarantee that the most catastrophic part of the car, the powertrain, if that goes, then you're covered. And 10 years under those miles is insane. It was insane the first time it ever came out. And now having that on a car like that, where it's for the money, it is an incredible amount of luxury. Kia interiors are very, very nice right now. The ergonomics of how the radio works, the quality of the leather that they put into it. So having that kind of guarantee and on a car that has all that luxury inside of it is incredible. They're actually coming out Genesis, which is the kind of the Lexus to Toyota. Genesis is to Kia. They're coming out with a new SUV called the GX that's going to have a lot of the same parts and a lot of the same design elements. And it's just this company that builds these really incredible, luxurious cars. And they are kind of beating some of the German equivalents by tens of thousands of dollars. So they're incredible buys. So the Telluride is a fantastic version of a traditional SUV with a lot of cargo carrying capacity and three rows of seats. And if you want something smaller with kind of similar, more updated technology, the K5 is the new sedan. That one's fantastic too.
I will tell you this, Alex. I remember 1978, I flew from Los Angeles to Seoul in Korea, and that was my first introduction to the Hyundais. And I looked at that car, I said, what a piece of garbage. I would never, ever, I mean, I looked at that car as an accident waiting to happen. I would never get in it. And now look what Hyundai's doing. They're, if I hadn't bought a Telluride, I probably would have bought a Hyundai.
They are all fantastic now. They're just, they did better than anybody else is really listening to customer feedback and taking, suggestions by committee, really seriously. And so that's how you end up with all these really smart features. Like the Kia K5 has this feature that I wish every car had, which is adaptive cruise control, which means it keeps up with the car in front of you. But it'll work after you come to a full stop. So you come to full stop in traffic and it will actually just keep going. And it sounds kind of strange if you haven't tried it, but it makes such a difference in terms of how fatigued you are after sitting in traffic for a while. So just little things like that showing up in a car at this price, it's fantastic. I see why they're working.
All right, so that's the Kia is one of the cars that's a surprise to you. What was the other big surprise?
It came down to more or less two of them. So for the last 3 years, the car of the year has been electric. So there was the Tesla Model 3, which is just inarguably a major deal, and it turned out to be a fantastic car to drive. And the new trim levels are exceptional. There was the Kia Niro, which is an electric car as well. The Chevrolet Bolt before that, which is kind of quietly a fantastic electric car. And then the electric car this year was the Polestar 2. So Polestar is this, it's owned by the same holding company that owns Volvo and Geely. So it's based in China and the factory's in China. But this is the company, they make a all-electric sedan now called the Polestar 2. It gets about 250 miles of range, which is less than Tesla's. But it has this new feature to it. It's called, I'm going to mess up the name, but it's the Google OS Auto. It's different from Google, plugging in your phone and you get your phone in the car. It's this voice assistant, and you can tell it things like, I'm cold or I'm hot. It'll adjust the temperature. You can tell it to turn on the seat heaters, that kind of thing. And it's this really intuitive, it's kind of, some of it's a little bit gimmicky, but it's this really intuitive way of just setting different things for your car. And it feels like you just have an Amazon Alexa running everything in your car. And that was, I was kind of ready to be skeptical of that, but it's actually a pretty fascinating feature and feels pretty futuristic.
All right, now, having said that, what were the cars for 2020 or 2021, I should say, that surprised you on the opposite end, that you said, uh-oh, this one's got a problem?
I'll say one that I was pretty ready to be skeptical of, too, was the new Chevrolet Corvette. So this is this one that has the mid-engine, and it was going to be, it had so much hype going into it. So every Corvette for the history of its production has had the engine in the front. It's the first one to have it in the middle. And it was, there's just these years of buildup and, news leaks about it. And I was pretty ready to be underwhelmed by it because, you've driven American cars for a long time. They've had their interiors have been plastic and cheap. Parts just aren't the same quality that you get in you know, especially European equivalents of that. And then this one came out, and it's basically challenging a lot of these six-figure Ferraris and McLarens and by having this setup, and it worked. I just could not believe how well it worked. It had this, you know, it had this bizarre-looking climate control that runs down the center of it, and you're like, this is, I don't think that there's no way to get used to this. It looks too insane. And then you actually spend some time in it, and it all makes sense, and it's comfortable, and all that for $60,000. I was just, I was so ready to be underwhelmed by it and just think that was just a fanboy thing, but that one, it kind of blew me away.
My thanks to Alex. And as more states lock down or impose stricter regulations on businesses in the wake of COVID-19, bars have had a particularly tough time. Kevin Sintemwang, the lifestyle editor for Esquire, is hoping for many bars to reopen as he talks about the best bars in America. My next guest has the enviable title of Culture and Lifestyle Director at Esquire Magazine, and he just did a cross-country road trip, something I haven't done since I was in college, from Brooklyn to California and back again. Kevin Sintemwang, how are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you, Peter?
Good. But what you also have done, and you do this every year, you list Esquire's best bars in America. So the timing has got to be rather interesting and curious now, given COVID-19.
It is, yeah. You know, when we started reporting the 2020 list, I mean, it's a thing we report year round, and but when this was ready to go to ship, this was, you know, the pandemic was just starting, right? And so, it was an interesting, definitely an interesting time to put out a best bars list, to say the least.
All right. So, what was the criteria for being the best bar? I'm sure it included, like, you know, the most creative drink, or the atmosphere, or the comfort quotient, or the service. What are you looking for?
Yeah, it's kind of an ephemeral quality, really. You know, it's definitely all those things you mentioned, but it's really about how much you really want to go back to that place, right? It's the place you know. Let's say you just land in Los Angeles, you want to go to you want to go to this bar. You're in New York. You want to go to Public Records. You want to go to Landa. You want to go to Clover Club in Brooklyn. It's really that kind of quality, the one where, you know, you really just can't wait to go back to it. And you know, unfortunately, that's a little bit harder, these days because of what's going on.
Exactly. Listen, I'm going to give you my criteria. You're going to laugh at me. I'm so easy, it's not funny. My best criteria for the best bar is I still like beer nuts.
Oh, yes. Hey, food, you know, a good bar snack, yeah, that will definitely get me back to a bar, you know. But a lot of it is the great drinks, you know, and it's also the music is a big part of it too. I think this year, on this year's list, you're seeing this sort of burgeoning category of listening bars, right? Bars where you just sort of have a great cocktail and you're kind of listening to a record. And there's not so much conversation. It's really just about the music, and so there's places like that. There's places like one of my favorite bars in New York City is like Katana Kitten, and that has more of like a party vibe. And then you're seeing a lot of great wine bars around the country where it's less less a little less precious and feels a lot more cool and casual place to have a glass of wine.
Of course, though, in the age of the pandemic, the beer nuts ain't going to cut it because I'm not going to share them with you, and you're not going to share them with me, right? The bars have had to pivot in terms of what they're offering, in terms of how they're doing their drinks, in terms of how they're figuring out where people sit, whether it's indoor or outdoor, depending on the jurisdiction and the community that they're in. So all bets are off, right?
Yeah, the food, you know, it's you're seeing a lot of innovations, right? And, you know, I noticed it sort of at the tail end of my report. But definitely when I did this cross-country trip, you're seeing a lot of people adjust to that. Yeah, bars will still serve food. Sometimes it's mandatory. You know, like in New York, you have to order food in order to get a drink now because of the new laws. But you're seeing a lot more to-go cocktails across the country where it's like you're getting like a large format cocktail and bringing it home. I have had to be in a bar where I sat inside a bar. All the experience I've had when I sort of crossed the country was all outdoor bars. And people are getting creative in that arena too.
And of course, I bet they're getting creative in terms of the Go Cups and what you're actually able to take home with you now. Because a lot of people will actually want to take home. I mean, I have friends of mine who are completely fanatics just about collecting Starbucks cups. So I can imagine what the bar scene must be like.
Yeah, you know, it's. I think this bar, it's in the West Village. It's called Dante. And they've done a really beautiful job with their, they have like this big martini program and their labels are really beautiful. You can get like a 6-pack of martinis, which is sort of like a great, gift to bring home, to a loved one at the end of the day. and then I was recently out in San Francisco, and this is one of kind of my first, pandemic sort of bar outings was at Pacific Cocktail Haven, otherwise known as PCH. And I got I got a few cocktails to go there. And they serve it with the ice that you would get there. So this crystal clear, big blocks of ice that you bring home. So you can bring a little bit more of that experience, to your house, you know? I think that that's the thing with the to-go thing. I think people are figuring out how to sort of add that extra layer of specialness, that extra layer of like hospitality
exactly.
to the to-go experience. Yeah.
I noticed in some of your lists here, a couple of cities that never used to register when it came to best bars. And one of them was Houston.
Oh yeah. Houston is a huge drinking culture there. And yeah, it's so hot. It's like it's summer there, like year round. So you're always in need of a nice cold drink down there. And there's also a lot of great seafood there. I feel like people kind of forget Houston as kind of a dining drinking destination, but it's an amazing one.
Exactly, and then the other surprise, it really was a surprise to me, was Indianapolis.
Indianapolis, it's Bar 114, which is this great little. It's almost like drinking in an apartment where someone is just playing you their favorite records, and you're just getting these impeccably made drinks. And yeah, no, you would not expect a bar like that to be in Indianapolis. But that's the fun thing about reporting this story, right? Is that get to go to sort of these smaller cities, you know, outside of the coast and really get to discover these gems. There's a lot of, you know, America has a really rich drinking and eating culture outside of, New York and Los Angeles.
Now, there was a time, and you remember it, Kevin, when the competitiveness around the bars was to see who could make the most complicated drink with the most amount of ingredients in there. And everybody's doing this one-upsmanship game. I'm assuming they're still doing that, but is there a drink that you've discovered at any of the bars you looked at that you would absolutely never try to make at home?
Oh, that is a good question. Oh, yeah. Okay. So there is this drink at Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which is this wonderful bar in Philadelphia, and the bartender there, Paul McDonald, does a drink based on the Fibonacci sequence, that mathematical sequence. And it's one of those drinks with many, many ingredients, but it just works. I would never make it at home because you kind of have to buy like 6 or 7 bottles to make this one drink. and plus it's just sort of like, I think it's really hard to measure like 1/8 of an ounce and like a 1/4 ounces, but there's sort of like minuscule amounts of things in there too. But it really does make a difference. I'm not touching that. I'm going to wait for Friday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday to open up again and get that drink there, as opposed to trying to replicate that at home.
And something tells you that's not a drink you take to go. You drink it there.
Yeah. I think that's better to be had there, you know. I think some drinks like martinis, Manhattans, travel pretty well. You can stick those in the freezer, but like frozen drinks or some shaken drinks, you kind of want to drink outside right after you get them.
Yeah, a lot of the frozen drinks you don't want to take home because they'll deconstruct on the way. Hey, you know, my crazy story happened in Savannah, Georgia. I was doing a story then for NBC. We went into a bar, and they said, we want to show you our signature drink. I said, okay. The bartender takes out a glass the size of like three thermoses and starts putting stuff in there. I mean, not one, not two, not three different kinds of alcohol, probably four or five, all sorts of other ingredients, everything short of the kitchen sink. I mean, the thing, you had to hold it with two hands, and you had, it was like pressing iron. And I finally said, okay, does this drink have a name? And everybody started laughing. I said, come on, you made it. What do you call it? And they said, the name of the drink is Call a Cab.
Yeah, these days it would be.
And I have to tell you, Kevin, I have to tell you, I drank it, and I had to call a cab.
Yeah. A very, very apt name, yeah.
My thanks to Kevin, to Alex George, and to Nikhil Advani. And my thanks to you for listening to this Ion Travel podcast. For more conversations with the leaders in travel, as well as answers to your travel questions, be sure to rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you happen to listen to podcasts. And for updates on all the breaking travel news, just sign on to petergreenberg.com. Hey, Prime members, Peter Greenberg here. You can listen to Ion Travel ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today, and you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. And before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at Wondery.com.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know, kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.